Good morning, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our meeting this morning, first of our Harvest Thanksgiving services, by singing together the hymn number 50. And it's the first hymn just in our wee hymn sheet. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. A great hymn, great words of truth in it, reminding us of God's goodness and God's faithfulness, and indeed the greatest gift of all, that of God's Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. Hymn number 50, the first hymn in the order of service. We'll just keep our seats while we sing, and singing it heartily unto the Lord. Together in prayer, let us just seek the Lord. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we gather, Lord, before thee today in the Saviour's precious and wonderful name. We draw nigh unto thee. And Father, we thank thee, O God, today for thy goodness and thy mercy, and for thy faithfulness, O God, toward us even this past year. We thank thee for every good and every perfect gift that thou dost give to us. We thank thee for seed time and harvest time. And Father, we thank thee for the fulfillment of thy great promise that while earth remaineth, there shall be that sowing time and that harvest time, that gathering time, that in gathering. And Father, we thank thee for the temporal mercies of God, even to us here in this land, and for the favourable weather even this year, and for the crops that have been safely gathered in. We acknowledge this is from the hand of God, for thou hast said in thy word that in thee we live and move and have our being. And Father, we thank thee for food and for provision. We thank thee, Lord, for all these mercies that thou dost give to us. And Father, we return thee thanks to thee, the God of heaven, the one who sustains us and all our needs day by day. Thou who art the giver of every good and perfect gift, we praise thee and we thank thee, O God, for thy mercies to us. And Father, we thank thee most of all today for the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of sinful man. And Father, we thank thee that he came willingly to this cross and this world, and he went to the cross, and there he suffered and bled and died for our sins. He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Father, we thank thee that he went willingly to the cross. He laid down his life as a ransom for guilty sinners such as us. And Father, we thank thee that he died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee for the great harvest that has come from the death of Christ upon the cross and is rising again. We thank thee, Lord, for each one in this gathering today who can rejoice in Christ as their Redeemer, who can rejoice in the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven and the great hope of life eternal. O God, we realize, O God, that thou art coming and that the Lord is coming back again to this earth in power and in great glory. Then there will be that final harvest, that final gathering into heaven. And Lord, our prayer is that even for all in this gathering here today, young and old alike, when Christ returns in power and in great glory, that all will be safely gathered into the garner and into the fold of heaven itself. O God, we just pray that thou wilt bless our coming together here in thy house today as we sing thy praises, as we read thy word, and as thy servant would preach thy word. We pray that in every part and detail of our meeting, that thou wilt give help, that Christ will be honored and glorified, that thou wilt do every heart and every soul good in this meeting place. Father, we do confess our sins before thee. Lord, as thy people, we acknowledge our transgressions. We pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood. And Lord, prepare our hearts this day to meet with thee. Lord, give us ears not only to hear thy word, but hearts and wills that are willing to do thy word, to live out thy word in our lives. Bless every believer, every child of God in this meeting house. Encourage and strengthen thy people. Lead them on with yourself, we pray. For any, Lord, that might be cold at heart, maybe once walked close with thee, yet they're afar off from thee today. Lord, restore them. And Lord, for any in our gathering not saved, that never come as a sinner to Christ and trusted him for salvation, Father, we pray that even today, by the grace and power of God, that they might come in repentance and in believing faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. How Christ has said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And may there be that looking to Christ today for salvation. We thank thee, Lord, for our Sunday school, our Bible class. We thank thee for the youth fellowship and the children's meetings in the week that has gone by. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless all these endeavors to the saving of our children and the encouragement of our young people in the ways of the Lord. Bless all our homes and our families, protect them, and do unite them all in Christ, we pray. Again, Lord, we're mindful of those that cannot be with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity, those that are led aside in hospital and in residential care. We pray that thou wilt minister to them, we ask. Lay on thy healing hand and give help and grace in their time of need, and be their helper and be their strength, we ask. Father, for others who have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts as well,
that they will know grace upon grace, meeting their every need. Do bless us over this weekend. Remember the meeting again tonight and again tomorrow evening. Lord, we just pray that as the word of God is sown, we thank thee that thy word is incorruptible and that thou hast promised that thy word will not return unto thee void. We pray that as the seed of the word of God is sown, that there will be that reaping even unto life eternal and godliness in Christ, we pray. Bless all our sister congregations today. Remember every minister, every student, every layman, Lord, who will preach thy word. May they know that help that comes from on high. Do bless our missionaries today, at home and abroad. Keep your hand upon them for good. And Lord, use them each one for thine honor and for thy glory. And bless them in the ways of God. And Father, we just pray for our land and our nation, O God. Have mercy, Lord, upon it. That in these days in which we live, O God, there might be that returning unto thee, to the old paths of thy word. And that turning unto Christ in revival power and in reformation grace. Bless thy servant, O God, today who has come to minister thy word. We thank thee for him. And Lord, bless him. Pour out thy spirit upon him. Give him great help and power in the preaching of thy word. And that, Lord, through his ministry here this morning, that hearts will be blessed, souls will be saved, and Christ will be glorified. Remember his own congregation in Guildford. Bless that work, even the one who had preached there today, and encourage thy servant as he labors there week by week. And grant an adding, a strengthening, a building up of thy witness there for the glory of thy name. Do us good now. Again, Lord, remember, Lord, those that rule in our land. May they rule in righteousness and in the fear of God. Bring to naught the plans of evil and ungodly men. Remember our queen and royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And may the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel shine into that household, we pray. Answer prayer. And Lord, give help now in the remaining part of this meeting. Glorify the Savior. And do every heart much good. For we ask all these things in our Savior's name. And for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. Now we're going to turn again, please, to our second hymn in our order of service. 734, another great harvest hymn. It says, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eves, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We'll keep our seats again as we sing, and singing it heartily unto the Lord.
Thank you.
those great words of truth to our hearts today. And I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to the first of our Harvest Thanksgiving meetings this weekend. We welcome all the members and friends of our congregation here today, and also those of you who may be visiting with us. We extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship together around God's Word. And also we welcome those that may be viewing online as well today. Our prayers the Lord will bless you. If you're a believer in the Lord, may you be encouraged and strengthened in the ways of God. And if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer is that you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. We give a very special welcome as well to our guest preacher this morning, the Reverend Gregory McCammon from our church in Guildford. We welcome our brother and we pray the Lord will bless him today as he brings God's word, that God's hand of blessing will be upon him in the ministry of God's word this morning. Also, can I just say a very special word of thanks as well to all the ladies and all who have helped in any way with the harvest decorating of the church and all who have supplied material for that. I want to thank you sincerely in the Lord for this labour of love, for these weekend of meetings, and it's been very well done, very tastefully done. I want to thank you sincerely in the Lord for this labour. I know there's a lot of time involved. I wasn't here, so I stayed well away, but I know there's a lot of time involved in that. I want to thank you sincerely in the Lord for this. I do remember our gospel meeting here tonight, the second of our harvest services, the guest preacher by the Reverend Paul Foster from our church in Dromore, and our brother Mr. Peter Mander from Portadown will be along to sing for us in the gospel. So remember that meeting, pray for it, plan to join with us again tonight and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tomorrow afternoon, meeting here in the church car park, 2 p.m. for the weekly door-to-door outreach. I know that doesn't suit a lot of people due to work, but do pray for that. And if you can, come and join with us. We'll be delighted to see you just really from 2 p.m. to about 3:30. Pray for the literature as it is given out. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. is our final harvest meeting of the weekend. And the guest preacher is the Reverend Colin Mercer from Oma. And the guest soloist, our brother Mr. Sam Houston from Hillsborough. Again, remember that meeting. Pray for it. And do all you can to invite and encourage others in and join with us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Can I say the offerings over the harvest weekend are toward the Bethel Children's Crusades. Remember that. And the offering plates are at the rear there as you leave. You'll find the plates there just as you leave. So do remember that, please. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 o'clock, is our prayer meeting night. And our brother, Mr. Wallace Thompson, will be with us to preach and also to present the work of the Evangelical Protestant Society, a society that is worthy of our support and prayers. And he'll be giving an update in that work, and there'll also be an offering for that work. So do remember that. I asked our brother, was he ever here in Bethel before? And he says, well, a long time ago, he says, before I was married. So that's quite a few years ago. But he's looking forward to coming on Tuesday night and bringing that report and presenting the work of the Evangelical Protestant Society and its witness. That's so important in this age of ecumenism when it's so rapidly advancing across the land, how good it is to keep maintaining the great truths of the Protestant Reformation and bringing those great truths before the people. So that will be the meeting on Tuesday night. Encourage as many as possible to gather for that service. Friday night, 6:30, the weekly children's meeting here in Bethel, and then the youth fellowship are going down to the youth rally in our Clougher Valley Church. That's Friday night, 8 o'clock. We're taking a bus down, and all young people are to meet here at 7:15 in the church car park. So do remember that, please, young people, on Friday night, and bring all our friends and young people with you as well under the sound of God's word. Next Lord's Day, the 24th of October, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel meeting, 7 p.m. And the will of the Lord, I'll be long to bring God's word. Saturday, the 30th of October, there's a special season of prayer for our land, organized by our Government Morals Committee of Presbytery, that is via Zoom, and it is from 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon. And for login details, contact myself or any of the elders, and we'll forward those to you. This incoming week, there's a special week of meetings in our Clougher Valley Church. As you know, they opened their new building yesterday. And those week of meetings are to mark that opening. And the preacher there night by night is the Reverend Peter McIntyre. And also this same week, there's a week of meetings, a biannual Bible conference in our Corrigarry Church. various speakers there as well. And the subject is the Great Commission. So do pray for those meetings if you're free in the latter part of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or whatever. Do go along and support them and encourage the brethren there in those congregations. The Youth Council Outreach is taking place in connection with our Dunmurray Church, and that is Saturday the 23rd of October, the 30th of October, and Saturday the 7th of November. It's open to all young people. Any young people wishing to go, contact our youth representative, Mr. Richard Edwards. And then on Thursday night, the 28th of October, at 8 p.m. here in the church, there'll be a meeting of the church session. And ask the members of session just to remember that, please. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. And they're all subject to the will of the Lord. But we're going to turn to our final hymn in our wee hymn sheet this morning. Another great harvest hymn, 735. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? In the morning, bright and fair, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the heat of the noonday sky? Remind us of the great importance when we're saved as individuals, indeed as a church, and doing all we can to sow and to spread the seed of God's kingdom, the word of God, and the gospel, both near and far. And what an important work that is to be involved in as God's people. We'll keep our seats again while we sing as the organist leads us in our praise. Welcome our brother, the Reverend McCammon, from our Guildford congregation. Our prayers the Lord will bless him today as he reads God's word and preaches that message that the Lord has laid upon his heart. Nice to renew fellowship with our brother. He helps out with the Consider Christ outreach, the plowing outreach, and ourselves, we shared in our time in Bible college together many years ago. It's nice to renew fellowship with our brother, and we pray the Lord will richly bless him today as he ministers the word of God this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Porter, for your welcome for me this morning, and it's a joy to be with you, to share the Word of God with you today. Greetings from our Guildford congregation, and if you turn now in God's Word, we read the Psalm where our text is found, Psalm 97. It's one of the royal Psalms that remind us who it is that really is reigning, who is on the throne. Psalm 97. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. He that loveth the Lord hateth evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Maybe we'll stand together, please, just for a moment's prayer. Seek the Lord. Our Father, we bless thee that thou art a good and gracious God. We are reminded this morning again of the harvest and how we do not want, how thou openest thy hand and satisfies the needs of all living things, all living creatures, for thou art good. And we worship thee, the good and glorious God, and we give thee thanks for the greatest gift of all, thy Son, Jesus Christ. May his name be magnified today in this house. And Lord, as the seed of the word is sown just now, may it be blessed of thee, and may it bring a bountiful harvest in our hearts who hear it. For thy glory and for the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want to leave with you the verse 11 in this psalm. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. This verse describes the happy portion, the blessed lot of God's people, that they have in their way light. They have light in their way, they have light on their path, they have light in their hearts. And this is the portion of every Christian, of all who belong to the kingdom of Christ. Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of light. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. And so as a church and as individual believers, we enjoy the light of the Lord. Didn't the Apostle Paul say, you are not in darkness as other men? Did he not say, you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. And this is encouraging then whenever we think of a verse like this for us as Christians. Because we do go through dark times. The fact that we belong to the kingdom of light does not mean that we do not have dark times. Or that we do not go through dark times. We live in a dark world, even as the kingdom of light in this earth. We live in a dark world. And so we do have distressing times. Hard times. Trying times. And it's good to remind ourselves, especially in those seasons, of a promise like this, that light is sown for the righteous, and gladness, even in the dark times, for the upright in heart. So it's a promise. It's a promise that we have to remind ourselves of in times of trials. There's a truth here that no matter what the child of God goes through, there is a blessed and a heavenly sowing that he can enjoy. And it's described in this text. As it says in another place, in Psalm 112, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Yes, in the very darkness to the upright there ariseth light. So yes, you will pass through dark times. In the darkness there ariseth light. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you're in a dark time today. Maybe you're passing through the darkness now. Maybe even now you experience it. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And this is a verse that can help you to do that. For light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. For you there is comfort. And so there's a blessedness in this text, isn't there? It's a bit like the plague that was upon Egypt. You remember the ninth plague. Egypt was in thick darkness. They were frightening times, even for the people of God in that land. There was a darkness that could be felt. And that's the world. But the children of Israel, they had light. Doesn't the Bible say that all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings? They weren't on their own. God didn't desert them. They weren't in the thick midst of the darkness like the ungodly. They had the light of the Lord. So I'm speaking to Christians this morning. You know that this is a text for Christians. Light is sown for the righteous. Now, of course, the light shines on sinners. And the gospel comes to sinners in the preaching of the word. The gospel light comes to sinners. But light is sown infallibly, powerfully, unmistakably and unfailingly sown to the righteous. And that's what we want to think about today. This marvelous light that God's people have. Three things I want to leave with you. I want to consider, first of all, the description of those that enjoy the light. And then we want to look at the manner in which the light is distributed to them. And then we want to consider what this light might picture, or what it might symbolize or might represent to us in our thoughts. So first of all, the description of God's people in the verse, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. It's the same people. There's not two classes of people here. It's the same people, but they're described as the righteous. And then going inward into their hearts, down into their soul, upright in heart. There's a twofold description of the Christian here. The righteous, first of all, saints are called the righteous. Now, you know that in the world there are only two kinds of people. God sees only two kinds of people. He sees the righteous and the wicked. He sees the sheep and the goats. He sees the godly seed and he sees the serpent seed. And we have that twofoldness in Psalm 1, for example, the very introduction to the Psalter. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. And the righteous, they don't stand or sit or move amongst the ungodly or fellowship with them. And they delight in the word of God. And they're grounded in the rivers of life, in the scriptures. And they're not easy blown away. But the wicked, they're like the chaff. They're so different. They're easily blown away. They don't stand in the congregation of the righteous. So they're very different, the righteous and the ungodly, described for us in the first the first psalm. Now, they are righteous in God's sight. How can that be, you say? Does not the Bible say there is none righteous? No, not one. It does indeed. And we don't feel righteous. I never feel righteous. I only ever feel a sinner. I only ever feel like saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. So we're not righteous in our own sight. But in the marvelous grace of God, in the marvelous provision of the gospel, Jesus Christ has taken our place and he's borne our sins and our unrighteousness. And he's answered for them and atoned for all of them. And he has brought to us himself, the covering of himself. And he's a righteous one. And he clothes us with the garments of salvation in his grace. It's like baptism, isn't it? We're washed, we pass through the waters, we come out into newness of life, accepted in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. So we're justified. We're justified freely by his grace. So this is how God views us, the righteous. This is how he views us through his Son, Jesus Christ. So we're justified freely. We have what people call imputed righteousness. The garments of righteousness, the garments of salvation that have been put upon us and that God sees and that we have in Christ. No righteousness of our own. In fact, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But we have Christ, our blessed Savior and Redeemer, in whom we trust. And he does all of this for us in his grace. And we are accepted in him. So Christians who believe in Jesus are the righteous. They're the righteous. Doesn't mean they're sinless. But as well as imputed righteousness, they also have inherent or infused righteousness. They have a standing in Christ, laid aside for the righteous, but also for the upright in heart. This is something in the heart now. This isn't just a standing. This isn't just a position that we have in Christ. This is something inside us, in our heart, upright in heart. And so there's a standing in Christ, but there's also something of holiness in life. You see, Christianity reaches into the heart. Whenever Christ saves a man and converts a man, he begins to sanctify a man. And so we have justification in the first part of the verse, but linked to justification and infallibly flowing from justification is the work of sanctification. The Lord is sanctifying us. He's working in our hearts by his Spirit and through his Word. And this marks Christians out from the world. It's different. They're not perfect. They're not sinless. In Christ they're accepted, but through him also a work of grace has commenced in their hearts. And they're different from the ungodly. And of course, child of God, this difference should be noticeable, shouldn't it? Because if someone is upright in heart, it shows. What's in the heart always comes out, doesn't it? And a Christian should show and manifest himself. And so I have to point out that being a Christian is a thing of the heart. There's no such thing as being justified and not being sanctified. Christianity always gets into a man's heart. Now, faith justifies, we're saved by faith alone. We know that. And we cannot concede that works is a necessary part of our salvation. No, it's union to Christ. Faith in him alone. But then he imparts to us his Spirit and this work of holiness of life. However imperfect it is in us, it's real, it has commenced, and it is ongoing. And we are to nurture it and nourish it, those of us that have faith in Jesus Christ. So as saints, we have to guard our hearts, don't we? And we have to nourish holiness of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, the Bible says. So the Christian is one who's concerned about his heart. Search me, O God, the psalmist said, and know my heart. He's concerned about that. Know my thoughts. And if by chance there should be a wicked way in me, if there's something in my heart, and many a time there is, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. This is a Christian. And that this is signs of uprightness in heart before the Lord. So the Lord wants heart religion, doesn't he? Son, give me thine heart. Now, the opposite of uprightness of heart is perversity of heart. And that marks the world, doesn't it? It's not a mark of our age, perversity. Perversity of lives, perversity of heart, perversity in the politics, perversity in high places, perversity in the media, perversity in the pleasure dens, no uprightness. The whole world is perverse. It lies in darkness, unrighteousness, and perverseness of heart. But Christians are different through the grace. Through the grace alone of Jesus Christ. So we don't boast. And we don't think that we're better than men. And we don't look down upon men because we still be conscious of remaining perverseness in our own hearts. And we always need to be cleansed afresh from our sins. But it has begun. The light is there. The Holy Spirit is present. The Word is loved and delighted in. And it's begun. So this is the description of you, child of God. Even though you're in a dark time, going through a terrible trial, your faith is in Jesus. This is your promise. Now, secondly, notice the manner in which the light is distributed to them. It is sown. That's interesting, isn't it? The word sow, of course, is an agricultural word. We sung about sowing seed. And we have around us the fruits of sowing in the harvest. But it may seem to us strange that light, the distribution of light, should be depicted as sown. Why would the Bible do that? Why would the Bible describe light like seed, sowed in the way of the people of God? Now, I think the image may be drawn from the rising of the sun. Because when the sun rises at the dawn, the rays of the sun come out from the sun in a kind of a triangular way, spreading out and illuminating the whole way before it. So the sun is like a sower, isn't it? And it sows its light out before its way. And I think that might be the image that the Holy Spirit is drawing our attention to here. And as the light is scattered out like seed, the darkness disperses. And I think the seed is going before the sun as a point of origin. And God's people are like that. That's how they experience the light. They're walking, and it's dispersed before them. Now, they're not the source of the light, the primary source of the light. The sower is God, you know that. He alone disperses the light. He alone originates the light. He enlightens every man that comes into the world, the Bible says. It was God who said, let there be light. So it's not that the believer is sowing the light. No, he's benefiting from the light being sown because God is with him. He has the Lord in his life. He has the Lord beside him. And so as he progresses through life with the Lord beside him, the Lord is sowing the light. He's sowing the seed before him in the journey of life. It's a wonderful thing to be the Christian, you know. To have the Lord with you. To have him by your side. What would we be if we hadn't got the Lord? I form the light, the Lord says. God is the Lord. which has showed us light, the Psalm 118 says. And what does James say? He's the Father of light. So let's not think that this is something man is doing. No, the Lord is the sower. But why would the Holy Spirit use the imagery of sowing? I think there are several reasons why he might do that. I think, firstly, and probably the main reason, is that he is gracious. It's showing his graciousness, his kindness, his generosity. Because, you know, we read of light in another part of the psalm, in Psalm 97, in the verse 3. A fire goes before him and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. So there is the dispersal of light in judgment. The very judgment from the divine holiness against sinners coming out from him, burning sinners up, melting the earth, causing the land and the nations to tremble. A fearful light, a terrifying light. But God's people don't have that light. The light they have from God comes by way of sowing, by a gracious and generous and kind dispersal of the light into their hearts and into their lives. It's a gladdening dispersal, you see. It causes them joy, and not horror, and not fear and terror and trembling, but rejoicing and jumping for joy. And that's why it says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. It's a gladdening dispersal of the light. And in the Bible, there is hardly anything that brings joy to a working man than the harvest. Harvest is a time of joy, a time of gladness. And whenever God is saying he sows a seed in our lives, he's saying he's going to make us glad. It'll bring rejoicing. And so the Holy Spirit is telling us this is a gracious thing. This is a loving God work for his people. God's light is sowed to the saints to drive away their misery. Because misery accompanies darkness. And it is identified with gloom and despair. But the Lord comes to his people, sowing the gladness in his goodness. And so we read things like in Esther, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And 1 Peter tells us, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The people that whom Peter wrote were going through terrible trials, fiery trials. And yet he could say, the light is sown and the gladness is distributed to you, even in the fiery trials. You have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in the bad times. And then sowing, I think, also causes us to think of it being generous. Sowing is a generous labor, isn't it? At least in olden times it was. The sower would have put his hand into the bag and he wouldn't have been dropping the seed by ones and twos, but generously dispersing it in the way as he went forward. And that's God. So generous. He opens his hand. He satisfies the needs of every living thing. And I tell you, when he opens his hand for his people, his nailed hand, his pierced hand, the hand that touched so many lives, when he opens that hand for his people, distributing the light into their hearts and before their lives, he makes them glad. So generous. And then, sowing is a thing that's gradual, isn't it? Not the sowing itself, but the fruit is gradual. When you sow seed, it doesn't come up straight away. And so while the Lord sows light, in our lives, our perception of it is increasing and growing. It grows. Whenever we were saved, we didn't have all the light. We didn't see everything clearly. It's not like that, is it? But as we journey through life, the light that the Lord has sown, we see that it grows, that it increases, and we grow in light and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So there's more and more. We're not like Christ at the minute. We don't have the full light of Christ now. You remember on the transfiguration when he was transfigured and he radiated and he had this glory? That's the glory that all God's people are going to have. But we don't have it all now. It's gradual. There's a harvest day coming. But at the minute it's sowing time. More and more. What did the Apostle Paul put it? Change from glory to glory. Step by step. Stage by stage. And then it's gainful because whenever you sow seed, it's fruitful. It's something that's going to bring forth fruit. And if God sows light, it'll bring forth fruit. And that fruit will be in our lives. God's light in our lives makes us holy. Makes us appreciative. It causes to increase the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, all these things. As the Lord casts the light before us, he makes us fruitful. And we couldn't possibly be fruitful without this light. So if we're growing in godliness and in Christ-likeness, this is a reason why. Because the Lord is sowing the light, that marvelous light, before us. And then lastly, what could this light be? Let us contemplate some things that come to our mind when we think of the light of God in the life of a believer. What is it that the righteous possess, which they cannot lose? Even in the most dark and terrible times, even in the midst of the dark world, even when we go through the divine judgments that come upon the earth and the last plagues. Do you remember one of the plagues was that on the seat of the beast there was cast out a veil, and his whole kingdom was full of darkness? And the wicked, they gnawed their tongues for pain, for the agony that they were suffering. And they blaspheme God in the darkness. That's not what God's people are going to go through. Because they have this promise. Light is sown for them. They'll not be blaspheming. They'll not be gnawing their tongues in malice and hatred and anger. However dark the days are upon the earth. Because the Lord will be sowing the seed, the light for them. And he'll give them gladness, even in the times of trial. Christ is the light. They will have light always, because they will always have Christ. Christ can never be taken away from the child of God. We're joined to him by faith. We have a union to him that is unbreakable. The Lord is my light and my salvation. This will always be sown for you, child of God, because you'll always have Christ. With him is the fountain of life, and in his light shall you see light. Remember the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is the light he's talking about. Following me, you'll not be in the darkness. You'll have the light sown continually in your way. If you follow me, if you stay close to me. And so, the child of God has the cloud and the fiery pillar through all the wilderness wanderings in this earth. You, believer, have a dear friend, a near friend, and he's full of light. and he desires to distribute it to you. And if you ask him, he will enlighten your darkness and enlighten your way. So, it's Christ. You can never lose him. And so you'll be enjoying this. And then, of course, there's the Word, isn't it? The Word is like seed, but the Word also is light. And we can combine the metaphors and say that God's Word, this is the Word of God. We'll always have the Word of God. Child of God, no matter how dark your day is, no matter what trials you go through, you'll always have your Bible. You'll always be able to open it up. Whatever bad news you get, whatever pain you go through, whatever trial you undergo, you always have a Bible. You always have God's Word, and you only have to open it. His infallible Word, His letter to you from heaven, you only have to open it. And as you open it, it is like light sown in your way. It will illuminate your darkness. It will, if you read it in faith and earnestly come to it in prayer, he will sow the light to you. And the Word will bring you gladness. And you'll rejoice as one that finds be it spoil. And the Word of God is such a delight to God's people in trials. And so that's scattered in their way. You'll always have that. And that Word will show you the path to take. And that brings a harvest of light in our lives and makes us productive and fruitful in the graces of Jesus Christ. The Word of God, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, Peter said. A light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. There's a great harvest to come. There's a great raising, a great arising in the harvest day. But in the meantime, we have to go through the ploughed fields below, knowing that light is sown for us. And one day we'll enter into the fullness of the light and of the harvest. The Word of God teaches us this. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is the light too, isn't he? We will always have light as Christians, even when they put us into prison, even when they persecute us and perhaps torture us. We will always have the indwelling Holy Spirit dwelling within us, the divine illuminator, the heavenly comforter. You know, whenever Christ first ascended, what was the first thing he did? He shed abundantly the Holy Spirit, like seed. He cast him into the earth. He poured him out. He dispersed him to the nations. And to us, light is sown for the righteous. And so he is in the church. And he will always be with us. The ungodly can't take away this promise from us. He will always be the illuminator. He convicts, he convinces, he converts, and he comforts by means of the Word. I mean, the Word of God needs a Holy Spirit. Whenever I talk about the Word, it has not all these powers by itself, but in the accompaniment of the Spirit, the living Spirit, the illuminator. And so you should always pray for the Holy Spirit on the ministry of the Word and on your Bible reading. Ask the Lord to give you a Spirit in the Word, to sow this light and gladness into your heart. The Word is not light without him. So saints, they have Christ, they trust in him, they have the Word, and they have confidence in Scripture, and they have the Holy Spirit. And he imparts this gladness, this joy that comes with the Spirit. And then also we have the throne of grace. a throne of light, a place that we can come to from where this light is dispersed, no matter how dark. We always have access into the heavenly light, into the heavenly sanctuary. We can always come to the light of heaven by prayer. And so the light is shown there at the throne of grace. These are things you have, child of God. All these things are attached to this promise. You have not because you ask not. Ask for the light. And then another thing that we have wherein this light is dispersed is the church. The church. The mother of us all. The body of Christ. The assembly of the saints, the congregation of the righteous. In the dark times, we can always, at least in our present liberties, assemble together. It may not be that we always have those liberties. We may one time have to do it in secret and in fear. But we will always be able to do it. Always be able to come to a place with other like-minded saints who love the Lord, who are the righteous and the upright in heart, who have the common salvation and the same faith. And there we have the gospel ordinances and light is sown to us in the preaching. I mean, that's what's happening this morning, isn't it? God is sowing his light to you in the ordinance of preaching. He does that every week here. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. It's the Lord that is the sower. It's the Lord that casts out the seed. And you can enjoy that. You'll always have that. Light sown. And you'll be able to say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. It was good for me to have been here. We met with the Lord. Because you have this experience, light being sown. And then you have the comfort of all the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. The Lord sowing his light among us for our comfort. And all of this, the ministry and the ordinances of the church, sustain us in the dark times by bringing the light to us. And then another light I see in this is the light of knowing that God is sovereign. I remind you how the verse begins, the Lord reigneth. I mean, that's wonderful light in itself. That's the opening ray of this psalm. That there is an overruling omnipotence. That there is one on the throne, no matter how dark the day is, no matter how fiery the trials that we go through, no matter what illness I suffer, no matter what pain I bear, no matter how dark the world and my life seems to be at this present moment, my God reigns. There's an overruling hand that is sovereign over all. And that light brings comfort to our hearts. That God knows, and God rules, and God oversees and overrules. And so we might easily bring to this verse a text like Romans 8 verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's a marvelous light that is sown in our darkest times. It all works together for good somehow. For the glory of God somehow. For the sanctification of my heart somehow. And that light brings us gladness. The Lord reigneth. If that light really gets into your heart, you'll be a rejoicing saint, no matter what waters you pass through. And then there is the promise here of the eternal inheritance. This will have a harvest, this light, you know. Light is being sown now presently, but it brings a harvest at the great day. The promise of the heavenly inheritance. If light sows, if God sows the light as seed, it will bring a great harvest for that child of God. He'll walk more and more, day by day, through the ploughed fields, until at last he comes into the heavenly glory. and the full harvest. And he enters into the heavenly light. You know, the last day is depicted as a harvest in so many different ways. And this, you can bring it to this verse. For the child of God, there'll be a harvest. Heaven is a place of light prepared for God's people. The heavenly realm. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. That's not the seed anymore that we have down below, but that's the fullness of the light, the fullness of the glory. Now we see him through a glass darkly, as sown seed, but then face to face, the full glory of the Lord, and we'll join in the harvest, and share in the harvest, and have the unspeakable gladness of being with Jesus Christ our Lord forever and ever. So do you see how blessed God's people are? Do you see what a wonderful thing it is to be righteous and to be upright in heart? Do you see what a blessed thing it is to be a saint, to be a true Christian? And we must ask in closing, how can a man go on in darkness? How can a man reject Christ? How can a man continue in a state of misery, in an unconverted, Christless state? How can you continue in your darkness, sinner? How miserable sinners are at times. And what a miserable world this is, wherein miserable people live and exist. And if they think that this is miserable now, it's even more miserable in eternity, where there is outer darkness and blackness of darkness forever, and no gospel light at all. And therefore, sinners, come ye to the light. Come to Christ. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us hear the voice who says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Come to Christ. Follow the Lord Jesus.
I'd like to thank the Reverend McCammon for the faithful preaching, encouraging message of God's word today to all our hearts, and praise God and receive of the wonderful light of Christ and the great light of eternity in heaven awaiting us. If you're not saved today, oh, that you would come to Christ, heed the preacher's call, and seek the Lord, and don't go away without the Lord as your Savior and as your Redeemer. Thank our brother for coming, and pray the Lord will richly bless him in his ministry in Guildford. We're just going to close, please, in a word of prayer. Our brother will not be going to the door, but I'll be going to the door just to greet you as you leave. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us here in thy house today. We thank thee for the faithful preaching of the word of God. And Lord, bless thy word. We thank thee for this great promise that light is sown. Lord, for the believer, for the child of God, for those that are righteous in Christ and those that are upright in the way. We thank thee for the light of God, the light of thy word, the light of the Holy Spirit, all the blessings we have as believers. Help us to rejoice in Christ our Redeemer in the dark seasons of life, and help us to prove thee and to live for thee day by day. For any with us today and they're still in the darkness of sin, still bound for eternal darkness and hell itself, Lord, speak to them. And O Lord, may they turn today from their sins, turn by faith to Christ, and find him as their refuge for time and eternity. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us travelling mercies. Bless us throughout this thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening. Bless in the evening meeting. We thank you for our brother with us today. Bless him in his own ministry there in Guildford. And use him for the glory and honour of God and for the extension of thy kingdom. This we pray and this we ask in Christ's great name. Amen. And amen.